Watershed Voice, community-supported journalism.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Spartans, to the Wolverines, to the Beards podcast. If you don't recognize my voice, I'm back. It's Jordan. Took a few week hiatus. You know, life and such happens. But I'm here. Lane's here.
Howdy.
The band is back together. We are ready for another glorious episode. We are ready to dive into some high school basketball. And then we're going to really hit on the real main topic this week will be college basketball, as the rest of the sports world's kind of toned down a little bit for the time being, and college basketball's really hitting its peak. I think we can probably say that's fair.
Yeah, I would say so.
So we'll do that. We will recap the high school. We'll touch on Michigan, Michigan State, maybe a little overall NCAA and everything. And we'll probably just shut this episode down this week. Not going to be a whole lot of different topics, but what we will discuss will be in depth and will be detailed. So before we get started too much, we got to do our shameless plugs. You know, follow us on all of our social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, wherever you're at. Look us up, Spartans, Wolverines, Beards. We're on there. We'd appreciate it if you'd be on there. Give us a like, give us a share, follow, all that stuff. It helps. Also, we want to say thank you to the Watershed Voice. If you have not looked into the Watershed Voice yet, please do so. They are your local resource for anything and everything you need at a very friendly rate. I think I really summed it up in just those few words. There's all your local information in one little spot.
That was beautiful, Jordan. I give you credit for that. That was beautiful.
You know, people take 2 weeks pauses these time of years, and they come back better than ever, and I feel refreshed and rejuvenated. Plus, I got a couple summer shandies sitting next to me, so that makes life a little better. You know, it's warm outside.
Yeah, it's 42 some degrees, man. It's a tropical friggin' heat wave for Michigan.
Walked outside in a t-shirt today just because I could.
Oh, yeah, America. That's what I do. Walk out with shorts. I'm that guy. I am that guy.
Absolutely. So before we get into the high school basketball, the one, I guess, kind of news topic right now, for those of you that haven't heard, and it's late breaking news, out in California, I believe, is where it was at. Tiger Woods was in a pretty serious car accident early this morning. It sounded like 7:40-ish local time. A single car accident. Anybody that's seen the pictures or whatever that's rolling around social media, it looked like it was pretty bad. They said the jaws of life had to be used to get him out of the car. And a statement from his agent said that he's been in surgery. Sounds like injuries to both legs. Not really a whole lot more information on severity or anything or what exactly happened, but you know, we hope for the best for Tiger. But when you hear that, you can't help but think the worst case scenario with, you know, his past and what had happened. But we'll leave that open to see what happens and what comes out. But definitely the pictures and everything didn't look great.
No, not at all. I mean, and you hope that it sounds like everything that it sounds like is he broke both legs. At least that's what's been reported. Granted that all could change in the next 20 minutes or 5 minutes or whatever. But I mean, man, you hope that out of any athlete that can overcome serious issues. I mean, we've gotten used to that with Tiger Woods, and you just hope that he can come back healthy, strong, and maybe that hopefully won't be the last we see of him.
Yeah, that's the big thing, is just the end of Tiger Woods. He's had so many issues with his back and everything going into it now. Golf, one thing you got to have is your legs, mm-hmm. You know, and so hope for the best for Tiger. You know, he's a legend. He's one of the goats of golf for sure. And anybody around our age, even if you weren't a golf fan, you enjoyed watching Tiger Woods in his prime because it was just fun to watch. Mm-hmm. So hope for the best for Tiger, and hope that it was just a horrible accident and nothing more serious comes out of it. So Any other news or any other thoughts or anything you wanted to throw in before we get started?
No, nah, man, I think it's outside of that. I think it's been a kind of slow news month for in the sports world, if you could say that.
Yeah, that's fair. I definitely think that's fair. All right, so let's get into the high school basketball. Those of you that listened last week, Lane jumped on his own and did just kind of a quick little recap of the local high school basketball scene. We've been kind of going back and forth on the best way to attack this because it's just so much information with all the games that happen and us recording just once a week. And there's, you know, every school seems like they're playing 3, 4, 5 games in between. And it's just hard to get into actual full game recaps. So we're going to just give you the rundown of what each school did, wins and losses. And maybe if there's a key point from any of those games, we'll throw those in there. But it's just too much. It's a lot of information, and we don't want to overwhelm everybody with what we're doing. Did I hit that right? Did that sound
no,
good?
I think you're good, man. I mean, really, just to reiterate that, like Jordan said, there's so many stinking games right now. It'll be a 3-hour podcast if we have to cover everything. We've got at least one note for one of the games that we'll bring up, and I think we'll going forward, I think that's what we're just going to try and target is if there's notable highlights from either boys or girls matchups, we'll jump into them from there.
Yeah, and by all means, if something happens in any of these games or a big milestone or whatever and we miss it, please send us a message. Let us know, and we will 100% shout it out on the next podcast because we don't want to miss anything. We want to give every student athlete their time in the spotlight that they deserve and that they earn. But it's like we said, it's a lot, and this isn't something that we're professionals at by any means. Exactly. So I think with that, should we dive
Let's
in?
Let's dive.
So we'll start with the top. We got Burr Oak, the Bobcats. Looks like we had 3 games since last recording. And what they go, we have them at 3-0 for the week. Is that, am I reading that correctly?
Yes, sir. They move out of the season 5-2.
So they have wins over Battle Creek, St. Philip, Athens, and Hillsdale, Will Carlton Academy. Wow, that's a mouthful. and then games coming up this week, 3 more with Waldron, Litchfield, and then that Hillsdale team again. So Bobcats off to a good start to the year, 5-2. And then we move into Centerville. The Bulldogs, 2 wins, 2-0. Big wins, really, over Bronson and Hartford. Looks like the Centerville boys are carrying over the success from the football field to the basketball court.
Yeah, I can only imagine that grittiness doesn't stop on the football field for Centerville.
For sure. Well, I mean, you look at that Centerville team, and there was a lot of size on the football field. You got to imagine a lot of those kids are playing basketball, and that size will obviously translate to the basketball
Exactly.
court. So 2 more games this week for the Bulldogs. They got at Cass and at Marcellus, Lane's alma mater.
Yes, sir.
You got any faith in your hometown team there?
You know, Marcellus has a really good player named Gavin Etter, who actually eclipsed this past week of the 1,000-point club, and I think he was the 4th in Marcellus history to do it. Marcellus is usually a pretty good basketball school. Last season, they had a really good season. This year, they've had their ups and downs, but I think that can be, you know, considering everything that's happened in the world. It's going to be an interesting game for them. I like Marcellus a lot because they are not afraid to shoot the 3 ball. But the way it looks at Centerville, they are not afraid to shoot it either. So that one could be a fun one on the 26th.
Yeah, Centerville's had some pretty high-scoring games, 72, 77 points. That's pretty good for high school.
Yeah, very
basketball.
Good.
Oh, moving into our next group, we got Colon, started out 3-0. 3 games this week, Mendon, Hillsdale, and then Marcellus Howardsville. So Magi starting off to a good start to their season as well. Into Constantine for the boys. Falcons off to a rough start this year, 0-4 so far, with losses to Hackett and Schoolcraft here this following week. Three games this week to try to right the ship. Parchment, Dalton Kellogg, and Galesburg Augusta. So we'll see if the Falcons can get things turned around.
Yeah, and you know, Jordan, and one of the things I've read about Constantine is that from everything I've read, it sounds like they're having a lot of shooting woes right now, either on the free throw line or just in general. So it'll be interesting to see what they can do and where they can turn around. I mean, there's some decent games in there. So, I mean, Falcons are going to have to turn around pretty quick, but they've got time.
Yep. Now into the Marcellus Howardsville Christian combo here. So I'm curious. So we have Centerville at Marcellus, and then we have Marcellus Howardsville Christian. That's the same thing here, right?
No, that is not. Howardsville Christian is St. Joe County. They are the Eagles. And then Marcellus, of course, is the Wildcats. So I mean, it's kind of confusing. But Howardsville Christian is like right outside of the Cass County line.
Gotcha. Okay.
And actually, they're probably the hottest team, I would say, in St. Joe County right now.
Yeah, it looks like 6-0, a couple good wins, a couple big wins, and then a close one with Bridgman. Taking on this week Kalamazoo's homeschooled team, which was a shocker to me. I didn't know that was a thing. But that's cool that kids that choose the homeschool route get an opportunity to participate in the sports. I do like that. And then at St. Joe Lake, Michigan, and then at Colon. So we'll see if this team stays hot and keeps rolling early on. Moving down the list, Mendon, falling to 0-3 so far, so kind of like Constantine, off to a rough start. Really got a tough loss with Decatur, and then kind of got smacked around by a White Pigeon team, so they need to rebound and rebound in a big way. They're at Colon and at home versus Hartford this week, so we'll see if the Hornets can also get this season righted.
Can I just throw it in there? I liked the rebound kind of pun in there.
I tend to be.
You are a punny individual, Jordan.
And I'm going to be 100% honest. I didn't even realize.
I know, and it just flowed naturally. I just wanted to give you kudos. Just wanted to give you kudos.
It's just once you do this for so long, it just natural. It flows. All right, moving into the last few schools here for the boys, and then Lane's going to hit the girls, and then we will keep moving on. Sturgis moves to 2-2 on the year. Tough loss at home against Edwardsburg, and then a good win against the Allegan Tiger team. So they go 1-1 on the week, and they've got games at Niles, at Vicksburg, and at home against Dowagiac this week. So a good chance here to get a few wins. I imagine that Niles game will be interesting. Niles is a pretty big school. I know Vicksburg's been off to a tough start this year, so see if the Trojans can build on some winning.
Yeah, and to touch just real quickly on the Trojans, their point guard, Thomas Kurowski, who is actually University of Chicago bound this year, also eclipsed the 1,000-point club. And I believe, let me see here, I believe he's averaging 27.6 points a game right now. So in high school, that is a remarkable stat.
Yeah, that'll
get the job done.
That'll definitely do. Well, congratulations to him. And we'll look forward to seeing how far we can take this year. Last two teams we got here. Three Rivers moves to 4-2. The good win against Dowagiac. A very tight win against an Allegan team. Tough loss to a perennially good Otsego team, and then a pretty convincing win against Vicksburg. So, Cats have been busy so far. Looks like this boys' team is pretty good. You know, anytime your only loss of the week is to Otsego, who has been good in basketball for as long as I can remember, that's a pretty good week. So, you know, Cats have two more this week with Pawpaw coming to town tomorrow. And then going to Edwardsburg, so that'll be interesting because, you know, Edwardsburg is basically Penn High School North, and they just recruit everybody from Northern Indiana that doesn't want to go to Penn High School. So it'll be interesting to see how the Cats continue to roll 4-2 so far. And then our last boys team, the White Pigeon Chiefs, they are 1-0. We touched on it earlier with a big win against Mendham where they scored 76 points. So curious to see what this White Pigeon team is. They got three games this week, starting tonight with Bangor, and then they have Cass coming to town and Bloomingdale. So Chiefs scored 76 points in their first game against Mendon. So there's some offense there, and that'll be interesting to see where they go this week. I'll be interested to see what our recap is for next week.
Yeah, me too. I'm very interested in this White Pigeon team.
For sure. That's intriguing. We say high school basketball scoring 76 points is a lot, but then you also consider that it's a small school like White Pigeon. You know, that's, you know, you usually see lower scoring games.
That's impressive. No matter where you cut it.
Right. So I'm going to give my voice a break. Lane, why don't you pound out some of these girls'
scores? All right. So starting off, we're going to just lead off with Lady Bobcats. Currently sitting at 2-3. Looks like they went 1-1 last week on the 18th. Went to Coldwater Pennsylvania Academy, if I'm butchering that, which I'm sure I am. won on the road 64-24. The next day, they were on the road to Athens, lost 6-47. They're going to look to avenge those losses, though, starting tonight at home against Waldron and on the 25th at home against Litchfield. So then the next team we're going to go over is the Centerville Lady Bulldogs. Lost a close one at home to Hartford, 47-41. That's their only game played so far this season. So they're sitting at 0-1, but they have Castleopolis at home tonight, and they travel to Marcellus on the 26th. So then the next team are the Colon Lady Magi, which are, I believe, this Colon ladies basketball team is a pretty stout team.
Yeah, it's kind of looking that way based on
I'm pretty sure this is a good team. So last week, they went, 2-0, first win was 50-25 on the road at Bellevue, followed up on the 19th, a decently close game, 37-24 at home against Climax Scots. Tonight they're home against Battle Creek Calhoun Christian. They follow up on the 25th at home against Hillsdale Academy. And the 27th, they are home also against Marcellus Howardsville Christian. Next team we're going to go is Constantine Lady Falcons. They went 0-2 last week, so that brings their season total to 2-2. On the 17th, lost on the road to Hackett. Hackett is always a perennially good, solid program, no matter what sport it's in. And then they lost at home to Schoolcraft, to the Lady Eagles. If you're familiar with the program or familiar with the area, Schoolcraft Lady Sports is always incredible. So not a horrible loss for Constantine. They look to right the ship tonight, though, at home or on the road at Parchment. And then they follow up with a couple games at home against Dalton Kellogg. And on the 26th, they're at home against Galesburg Augusta. So that
I think you could probably say Schoolcraft's just good at
everything. Yeah, right, I think that's
guys, girls, I don't think it really matters.
Yeah.
That seems like everything you look at, that Schoolcraft, they're just doing something right there. And I think they're getting a lot of, kind of like I said with Edwardsburg, you know, a lot of kids that didn't want to go to Penn High School kind of want to go to something small, they go up to Edwardsburg. Well, I think Schoolcraft's the beneficiary of any kids that are in the Kalamazoo area or surrounding area and want to go to a little bit of a smaller school, kind of make the short drive.
You know, that's funny because that was about exactly what I was going to say. You see? Same wavelengths. Yep. 2 weeks off, same wavelengths.
Yep. Good.
Great minds.
Hey, great minds.
So then we'll go on to the Howardsville Christian Lady Eagles. They're currently sitting 1-2. Looks like they had a couple games canceled last week due to COVID. So tonight they're on the road at St. Joseph Lake Michigan Catholic, and it looks like they're round out the week on the road. On the 26th, they're going to Athens Factoryville Christian. That's a mouthful. And on the 27th, they go to Colon to take on the Lady Magi. So then we're looking at the Mendon Lady Hornets, who went 1-1 last week. 19th won a pretty impressive score, 49-24 at home against the Decatur Lady Raiders. And then on the 20th, they lost a close game to White Pigeon, 39-35. Tonight, they're on the road to Eau Claire. Whew, that's a haul.
That's a haul. Drive. I know people that from Centerville that have, they talk about having to make the drive over there.
Oh, that's a haul. And then on the 26th, they're at home against Hartford. We'll go ahead and get into Sturgis Trojans. They went, 1-2 last week. Started off the week not on a hot note. Loss at home or on the road to Plainwell, 40-17. Followed up to another loss on the road, 51-13. But then on the road again to Allegan, seems like they started to right the scoring woes, 135-31. Tonight, they're at home against Niles, followed by tomorrow night at home against Vicksburg. And then on the first, they go to Dowagiac. So then we're going to go on to our hometown Lady Cats, Three Rivers Lady Cats, if you did not know that. So last Monday, went on to the road to Dowagiac, did a pretty significant job, 53-12, winning that game. Followed up on the 17th at home against Allegan, 61-37. The 20th won against Otsego, 59-42. And then they lost a heartbreaker to Vicksburg at Vicksburg, 49-44. Tomorrow night, they are on the road against Pawpaw. And on the first, Edwardsburg rolls into town. So then closing out our Lady basketball teams, White Pigeon, could you call them the Lady Chiefs? Lady Chiefs, one at home, as I already said, 39-35. So that brings them to 1-0 on the season. But tonight they're on the road at Bangor. Tomorrow night they go to Homer. And then they close out the week at home against Cassopolis. And they start on the first at home against Bloomingdale.
Yeah, that's a mouthful.
That's
of games a haul. For sure.
That's a lot of games.
Very interested to watch that Three Rivers team for the Lady Cats. I know Jason Bingaman has had a pretty good run there with them over recent years. I know that, and even back to the days when I was in school, those girls teams seem to always be very, very competitive. So I'll be very curious to see how that Cats team does.
Yeah,
this year.
Exactly. I mean, there's a whole lot of talent on that team. Same with, like we had said, there's a few teams out there that's got a really good amount of talent. So I'm going to be interested to see as the season progresses, as adversity continues to show its face, because we know COVID ain't going anywhere. So we're going to be seeing some adversity coming out there. So it's going to be interesting to see where these teams end up.
Yep. We've already got one state title since the pod started covering local sports, and we might as well make it two for two with the season. So we need a basketball team to make the run. So, okay, do we have anything else local sports wise? I know that was a big.
No, man. I think we're ready to talk some college basketball.
Let's talk some more hoops. So we're gonna take an unpaid break, shameless plug. And if you want to sponsor us, give us a holler. We'll take it anytime, any way you want to do it. And we'll be right back.
All right, everybody, we're back from our unpaid sponsored commercial break. Notice how we keep throwing that out there.
It's unpaid, unsponsored. I mean, like, we're open for basically anything.
We're open for anything.
Yeah.
I mean, hot now, if you want to sponsor us, I'm repping one of your shirts right now.
Now, I mean, now you're speaking my language. I'm a fat guy.
Yeah, you see, hot now, only one. That's like the mecca for fat people in Michigan.
Especially since it's the only one left in existence, isn't it?
Exactly. I'm just saying. Hot now. Yeah. If you got somebody out there listening to us, hook your boys up.
Holler at your boys. Take some of cheese curds.
Ooh,
cheesy
man.
Tots or whatever the heck.
All
they are.
Those cheesy tots.
Oh boy. Yeah,
fire.
Okay, we got to get off this. I'm getting hungry.
Yeah. All right. So with that, we'll just gonna throw it over here to Jordan for the past couple weeks. Some. Interesting developments for Michigan State. I guess you could say interesting if it means they're winning. And Michigan, speaking of winning, continues to win. So, Jordan, why don't we go ahead and cover some of these basketball teams? We'll maybe do a little national scene. And then I just got a couple questions for you on your thoughts of some of the smaller rumors swirling about Michigan.
We'll get there. Let's do Michigan State first, because I do think more of the topic right now is what Michigan's doing. So those of you that have been following us know Michigan State's been in kind of a tailspin this year. They haven't been able to get their footing pretty much at all. You know, they stumbled out of the gates early on. They got a win against the Duke team, but then really from there it's been bad. And then they had a bunch of COVID cases, so it's like, God, this team just need – they almost just wanted the season to end. Come back out of it, and, you know, the dink and dunk, get a win against Nebraska, a win against Penn State, the teams at the bottom, then get smoked by Iowa, get beat by Purdue. Then Saturday happens, and they go down to Indiana and beat a Hoosier team that, according to most bracketologists, is in the field right now. So, you know, that puts them at 11-9, 5-9 in the conference, 11th overall in the conference. So it's not ideal. Like, you hear those numbers and you kind of still get to that whole woof feeling, like, eh. But the only thing that Michigan State has right now is the fact that what's in front of them, and let me preface this with saying that the Purdue game they lost, they looked better. It was a sloppy game, but you felt like there was a little more cohesion. Then the Indiana game started out sloppy, but then the back half, I guess, of that game looked really good. You know, there was flow on offense. They were making shots. The defense had ratcheted up. So these last couple games, there's been signs of life. And they have six games left. Tonight, they're at home against Illinois. Illinois is a juggernaut. They're kind of mowing teams down right now. Then they got Ohio State at home on Thursday. They got to go to Maryland. They have Indiana team coming back in next week, and then the back-to-back with Michigan to end the year. So everybody, you hear that, and you go, ugh, you know, that doesn't sound good. But if you're a Michigan State fan, you have to look at it with, you have four games against top five teams. There is a window here that you can play your way back into the tournament conversation. Now, it would be damn impressive, because you've got to beat some of the teams that many teams have not been able to beat. But the fact of the matter is, with the way the schedule lays out, if they can beat Maryland, beat Indiana, and they can steal one or two of these other four games, going into the Big Ten tournament, they'll be on the bubble. They might be just on the outside of it, but they'll be on the bubble, no doubt. So it'll be interesting. I'm very curious to watch tonight. I want to see how they look against Illinois. Honestly, I think if they can win this game tonight, then you have a legitimate reason to watch. I think, okay, now this team, can they get it done? Can they get the three more wins that they need to really feel like they have a chance? If they lose tonight, I think it gets a lot harder, because then you're asking that they got to win, I think, 4 out of 5. Worst case scenario, 3 out of 5, and I think that's tough. So the game tonight is really, really important for Michigan State.
And you know, Jordan, it's interesting, because I have seen it thrown out there, and it's interesting, and I think it's wrong, but I've been starting to see comparisons of this Michigan State team to the 2013 UConn Huskies with Kemba?
Oh. I think, no, because 2013 Michigan was there.
Okay.
Was it 2010, 2011?
Or was it 2012?
I know what you're talking about. The team that got in at like an 8 or 9 seed.
Yeah, and just ran it.
There's not the talent there.
No, the horses aren't there, good. But.
Yeah. No, I don't see that.
So now, and this is just a hypothetical question to you, Jordan. Now, I know you said you think, you know, they have to win. I mean, at least 60% of these games. Now, say
I think if you go 3-3, and one of those wins is at least, I guess, I don't know, that doesn't work. I don't know. 4-2 might be the minimum you need.
Well, and see, and that was my question for you, is say we play Illinois tonight, and say we play Illinois tough, and say Illinois wins 78-71. And then Thursday night we play Ohio State, and say by some miracle we squeak it out. And then say we do well against Maryland, Indiana, and say then against Michigan, say at Ann Arbor, we lose by like 3. And then say we lose at home again. Do you think that they'll take in consideration the past, oh hell, month for this Michigan State team and maybe put them in?
So the only thing I will say about that is basketball is not like football. Close losses are never looked at.
Okay.
A loss is a loss in college basketball.
Okay.
It doesn't matter if you lose by 50 or by 1. A loss is a loss. There's no metric. Now, there is. But there's no, like, metric that the committee uses to say, well, Michigan State lost 6 games by less than 5 points. That's not a thing.
Okay.
It's did you win or did you lose? That so I think for moral purposes and for like making you feel a little bit better about where the future is, that's good, but you got to win. I mean, my opinion, I actually think that the Ohio State game is the best matchup for them because Ohio State's not a team that has a dominant big, you know, Illinois, which is where Michigan State struggled. Illinois has Kofi Coburn, Michigan's got Hunter Dickinson. Those are terrible matchups for Michigan State because they just have had no post presence at all. So Ohio State will be the big one. If they can steal that one and then win both Maryland and Indiana, that means you just have to take one of the back-to-backs with Michigan, and now you're in the conversation.
Interesting.
But I think that has to be the route. You have to beat Ohio State. If you lose to Maryland and Indiana, either one of those, it's over. You've got to win both of those. You need that Ohio State game, and then just split with Michigan. And back-to-backs are hard.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, it's Thursday, Sunday, so it's not like it's a back-to-back day, but it's still back-to-back games. That's hard to win both those games.
Yeah.
No matter how good the team is. So I think that's the route because I don't think is a good matchup for them. We'll see. If they put up a fight, I think you have to feel better about the last five games.
That's fair.
That's kind of where I stand with it. And I really think it's interesting what is going to happen with a lot of these players because you got guys like Rocket Watts who just seems unhappy and Aaron Henry who flirted with the NBA and all these bigs that aren't getting the playing time that they thought they were going to get. You just lost a five-star recruit because you said they got all these bigs coming back. Like, what's going to happen with the makeup of this team? And I think these last five games will help dictate that.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And, you know, and actually, I was going to talk about Rocket Watts. To me, I think he's out. I think he wants out of there.
Yeah, he seems checked out. Mm-hmm. He wants to be that ball dominant shot chucker, and that's not a Tom Izzo thing. You're not going to do
no,
that.
No, it's never been a Tom Izzo thing, and it never will be.
So, my one question there, do you think Tom Izzo's getting to the end of his role?
You know, I think
he's been at it for a long time.
You know, you and I kind of talked about that. I think was the last time we were together?
Maybe, I can't remember.
But to me it's starting to look like the end of an era. I mean, this is kind of how it starts, right? Is that a coach, you know, you start seeing these games that they and the teams that look good on paper and, you know, they think they should be a good team and then it just starts to struggle. Well, then the disconnect comes from the players and then you get all these big recruits and now the recruits don't want to come in. I'm a little alarmed, but I think I will be more alarmed going into next season if we start losing more recruits and we start getting a lot more transfers out. Because then that's telling me there's something within that system and that program that just ain't working anymore.
Yeah, that'll be the interesting thing because if there's one thing that Michigan State has always been able to avoid, and it's just befuddled me how, but they have never – it's some kind of long streak. I can't tell you the last player that transferred out of Michigan State.
Yeah.
It's been an extremely long time. Like I'm talking 15 to 20 years since a player has transferred out. It's extremely long.
Right. We'll lose recruits. So that just, but
yeah, that just speaks to the issues. If we're even talking about a Rocket Watts wanting to transfer, there's issues.
Well, and I mean, I think part of the issue is too, is that Izzo is another one of these guys that is very old school. Mm-hmm. And it's let's feed our bigs. Let's, you know, go about it this way. And it's not the way the game is now. I mean,
right.
The old days. I mean, even a couple of years ago with like Xavier Tillman, Draymond Green, guys like that, it's not that way anymore. I mean, teams like Golden State, it's trendy to shoot the three ball. And that's what everybody wants to do now, because if you can shoot the three ball, you have a great chance of making the league.
Right. Well, and I think – and we're beating a dead horse here, but I think one of the things also is Izzo's always been very critical of the transfer portal and never been a big guy to get into it. Yep. And obviously he has Joey Hauser, who is a transfer, but I think – Cassius Winston is a blessing and a curse because it's great because you had him for 4 years and he's one of the best players to ever come through there. And you had a point guard for 4 years, but you couldn't get a point guard in there because they want to play right now. And Cassius Winston's there and you knew he was going to be there. So the lack of point guard and the inability to go get one through the transfer market, like Juwan Howard did with Mike Smith, is really looming large right now for Tom.
Oh, yeah. And can I say, though, I mean, like, and we talk about the point to Cassius Winston. Can I mean, is it fair to say that there is a team, one of the teams like Michigan State are one of the biggest casualties of a COVID year? Because last year, going into the Big Ten tournament, you could argue Michigan State was one of the hottest, if not the hottest team in the nation going into the Big Ten play. Tournament gets canceled. March Madness gets canceled. And then now they struggle this year. So, I mean, it could be the ultimate what if.
Yeah, no, I agree. You had a team full of guys that were ready to make their last run and then get a chance to do it. Yep, no, I agree. So it'll be interesting to see. This week will tell a lot for the Spartans, and we will know. I think we will know by the next time we record, you will know if Michigan State has a shot or if the dream is done. So we thought they were dead, but there's signs of life. We'll see if they can stay afloat. So now let's get into the complete opposite of the spectrum. The Michigan Wolverines. So, Michigan, I haven't talked to you guys since Michigan's really came back. Sunday's win against Wisconsin, and then the Rutgers win last Thursday, and then this past Sunday, one of the most entertaining games I've ever watched, not just being a Michigan fan, like any basketball game. Sunday's game against Ohio State was just fun. I mean, did you watch any of it?
No, I didn't, but I've heard a lot about it.
Man, it was just high level basketball. I mean, it was two teams just throwing their best punches at each other for 40 minutes. Both teams made tough shots all game long. I mean, Ohio State went, they shot, it was like 60 something percent from two, 50 something from three, and 90 from the free throw line. Like it was insane, the offense in that game. And it wasn't because of a lack of defense. Both of these teams made tough shots. I'll be hard-pressed to believe that there's going to be a better game in this college basketball season. One singular game. Now, maybe the national championship game, depending on the matchup we get, could be that, or a Final Four game, something like that. But I just don't see another game on the schedule anywhere that's going to be that kind of high level game. Like those two teams put on a show. Now I say that, and then Michigan's got a tough game Thursday with Iowa coming to town. And then next Tuesday, Illinois comes to town. So you got two more top 10 matchups coming up. But I mean, that game was just impressive. And to that point, everything this Michigan team has done this year has been impressive. I mean, this is a team that was picked eighth in the conference to start the year. They're sitting third in the country in every single poll. They've started to receive first place votes in APs. Like, I've seen that. So Baylor comes back tonight off of their pause, and everybody says if Baylor comes out and loses a game, that Michigan will jump them right away. They're third at KenPom. They're third at Torvik. They're third in coaches. They're third in the AP. It was always, you know, there's Baylor and Gonzaga, and then there's everybody else. The national narrative now is there's Baylor, Gonzaga, and Michigan. I mean, it's impressive. I've always been kind of a try-to-play-it-down type of person when it comes to the basketball scene. Just, I don't know why, but I do. And at this point, I just can't. Because every single game, they just come out and find a way to win. They can win a game 92-87, or they can win a game 67-59. I mean, they can play two different styles. They can beat you from the post. They can beat you from the three. They run 7-8 deep. I mean, Juwan Howard is pushing all the right buttons. All of these guys understand their role. When we talk about guys like Mike Smith and Shaundi Brown, the transfers, Juwan Howard hit a home run with those two. A home run. There's not two better transfers in the country right now. Anywhere in the country. Those two transfers, what they mean to this team and what they've brought to this team has been absolutely perfect. I mean, you could argue that Mike Smith has been better than Xavier Simpson to this point. I mean, he has assist to turnover numbers are getting better and better and better. He's shooting an extremely high percent, and he seems to just have a grip on this offense. So We talked about Michigan State's road. Michigan's is no easier. Like I said, Iowa Thursday. They got to go to Indiana. Then they got Illinois next week. And then the back-to-back with Michigan State. But, I mean, barring a collapse, this is a team on a crash course with a one seed. And in this year's tournament, that's the most important thing. You want to be a one seed because you don't want to be in that bracket with Gonzaga and Baylor. You want to be in your own bracket where you can get make that run to the Final Four just a little bit easier because you don't want to run into one of those guys in the Elite Eight. So, I mean, everything about this team has been impressive. They're fun to watch. They play for each other. It's just been fun. It's been a nice relief for all the Michigan fans that have suffered through all the shit that has been football in the last few years and to enjoy a good basketball season. So I'm looking forward to Thursday. It's going to be another high-scoring game because we know Iowa don't play a lick of defense. And I'll be interested to see what Hunter Dickinson does against Luka Garza.
Well, and I think Garza is probably one of the most protected players in college basketball. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, that dude runs his ass off. He plays hard, and he gets away with a lot of chippy things, I guess we'll say, in the post. And the thing about him is he gets a lot of his points because he outworks you. And if you let him outwork you, he can drop 40 on you. And he's efficient around the rim. It'll be interesting to see the strategy they deploy because it seems like a lot of teams have gone to the double in the post and taking him away. But there's so many shooters around him that you really can't do that. Me personally, I don't do that. I think you let Hunter go one-on-one with him and bang. Tell him, play him straight up. Don't foul. See if he can score over you. You're 7'2". You're a big body. If he can beat me scoring 40, then he can beat me scoring 40. That's where I'm at with it. I'm not going to let all these shooters get hot and knock down 10 or 11 threes. I'm not going to do it. So I'll be interested to see the strategy. Hunter Dickinson's done nothing but impress all season. I don't see why this isn't going to be another fun game Thursday night. And then the really big one is next Tuesday because Illinois fans start talking all that shit on Twitter, and I can't wait for that game. I want all the smoke next Tuesday. We're going to be off this podcast early next Tuesday because I got to be in front of the TV ready for that game to start. I can tell you that right
I'm just going to be here, and you're smacking your wrist when we're talking, going, hurry up.
Yeah, because I want all the smoke.
All of it.
Illinois fans, if anybody that doesn't know, they've been all over Twitter saying Michigan was ducking them because the game got canceled because of COVID.
Jesus.
Anybody that was with a brain cell knows it wasn't Michigan that shut down. It was state recommendation that shut them down. They didn't have any positive tests. They wanted to keep playing. Get out of here with that ducking bull crap. Shut up.
Jordan's fired up.
Yeah, let's go. Get me some. So this Michigan team's been impressive. I'm excited to see where the rest of the year goes, and I'm ready for the tournament down in Indy. By the way, can I just say that moving the tournament all to Indiana and doing it the way they're doing it, I love it.
I think it's smart.
With a COVID year, doing it the way they're doing it, it's brilliant, and Indiana is like the Mecca of basketball. So let's go. I'm all about it. Sign me up.
You're fired.
I'm ready to go. I'm excited.
Yep. You're ready.
So what do you got for me? You said you had a couple questions. Let's hear them.
All right.
And if one of them is what I think it is, I'm going to shoot it down really quick.
All right. So I already going to ask it, but you know what? So the first one's going to be, is Juwan Howard the coach of the year? I think that's an easy question.
Yeah.
I say yes.
I mean, I understand the arguments for a few other guys. The only problem I have with the other arguments, like a Scott Drew and a Mark Few and even Chris Holtman or Brad Underwood, those guys, those teams were supposed to be good. You know, Gonzaga was supposed to be undefeated. Baylor was supposed to be a top five team. Like I said, Michigan was picked eighth in the conference this year. So for me, with what they've done, with where they were supposed to be, yeah, I think he has to be the coach of the year.
Okay. All right, so then going along that line, you knew it was going to happen, whether it's perpetuated by Twitter fingers or if it's, you know, actual legitimacy to the question. But do you see?
just let me ask the question.
I know where you're going. And no. Well, the question is Juwan Howard going to be an NBA coach? And is he going to leave Michigan?
Okay, so that's a two-part question.
Mm-hmm.
Part one, is he going to be an NBA coach? Yes, I think at some point, maybe. Maybe is like the – I could see him doing it, but I don't know. I think, yes, at some point you might see it happen. Next year, hell no. Not even – he won't even entertain the NBA for at least 4 years.
You
want to know why?
Well, because of the recruiting he can get.
Well, that, but there's another part of that recruiting. His son is on the team right now, and his other son is a senior this year, or a junior this year. And his other son is a top 50 recruit. He's not going to pass up the opportunity to coach his kids at his alma mater. That's not happening.
Yeah.
You don't see Juwan Howard entertaining any NBA offers, in my opinion, until maybe 2024. And that's only if they win a national title, because I think he is hellbound and determined to get back to that national title game and redeem what happened when he played there.
So then now my next question, this is a wild card. Where, if the season ended today and you threw out records and everything talent wise, where would you put this Michigan team?
What do you mean? Like, where would I rank them?
Yeah. Would you put them like with, you know, the Fab Five?
Michigan lore.
Oh, yeah.
This question's been asked all over Twitter lately. I've seen it many times. And I struggle with it because, I mean, you go to the Fab Five teams and you had a bunch of NBA talent, and you go back to the Glenn Rice teams, and then you can even go back to Cassie Russell teams, and those teams were damn good. But for me, I mean, the season ends right now, so it's hard to say. You got to see where this team gets, but it's hard to beat that 2013 team. The Trey Burke, the Tim Hardaway, Nick Stauskas, Glenn Robinson. I mean, there's six NBA players on that roster. I mean, everybody forgets that Caris LeVert came off the bench for that team.
Yeah, and Caris LeVert might be the best pro out of all of them.
I mean, that team was historically good, and they were two bad calls in a national title game from having it. I mean, so to me, they're behind that team for sure. I think it's hard to compare the Fab Five in that team because it was such a different generation. Like we said, it's so predicated on the three ball. I think athlete to athlete wise, the Fab Five would crush them. I think in today's game, this team probably plays better for today's game. But Jalen Rose would eat some of these dudes lunch. And Chris Webber would be the most athletic dude on the floor. So it's tough. They're definitely a top five all-time team right now, in my opinion.
Okay.
But I can't get them to 1-2 or probably even 3 until they got to get to that Monday night game, in my opinion. Because I say the 13 team, the Fab 5 team, and the 18 team that made the national title game, right now they've got one thing. And even the year they won it, what was it, 89? God, I feel bad. I think it was 89 that they won it. I mean, those teams have got to be ahead of them right now. Because they've been there and they've done that. Now, if this team gets to Monday night or they hang a banner, we'll have an argument. We'll fight about it. I don't know how I'll feel. It's going to depend on how the run goes. But right now, I think they have a shot at that fifth spot. But I can't put them any higher than that yet.
Okay. So, to be continued.
Yes. And like you said, the question was if the season ended today. So, if the season ended today, they'd be the fifth best team overall, in my opinion.
Okay. And that's all I wanted to know.
So, we'll see. I think they have just as good a shot to get to that Monday night national championship game as anybody in the country.
I think it's an honest assessment.
They can beat you from five spots. They run eight deep. They have size. They have guard play. I mean, they have everything that you look at for a national championship team, and they have it in spades. I mean, and the other thing that doesn't get talked about a lot with this team is they have experience. And don't forget, Isaiah Livers and Eli Brooks were on the last national championship game. They were in that game. They both played in that game.
Yeah.
So they've got some guys that have been there and know what it takes to get there. That's so important in a COVID year like this. Guys that have, when you get to that tournament, know what it means to stay locked in for six games. That's important.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, the season's going to be fun. We're only a couple weeks away from a bracket, and man, I can't wait.
You're chomping at the bit. All right. So do you have any other thoughts on college basketball as a whole, or do you want to close this puppy
down?
No,
we've been going for almost a half an hour on it. I think that's probably enough. People are probably tired of listening to me talk.
All right. So with that, I guess that we're just going to be wrapping the show up this week. So thank you guys again for listening to us for another week. If you have not yet, please, 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 please follow us, like us, retweet us, do whatever you can on all of our social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. If you have not yet, subscribe, rate us on your favorite podcast streaming sites. That just helps with the algorithms to get us out there a little bit further. And like Jordan likes to say, tell a friend. Tell one person to listen to us. Tell one person to subscribe to us. Once you do that, we can just can start growing and we can bless more people with our voices. And then also, if you haven't yet, make sure you check out Watershed Voice. It's a great community-sponsored journalism piece. Actually, fun little thing. There's going to be a new, if you haven't heard it already, there's a new little part that I'm throwing into the podcast this week that just a little plug for Watershed Voice. So if you guys haven't yet, make sure you give them a look. And more than anything, just take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. And we will see you next week.
Go Blue.